This is Access Houston on 97.9 The Box.
That's right, and you are listening to Access Houston on 97.9 The Box. I'm your host, KG Smooth. Oh, man, today we are going to talk about flying, aviation. Had the pleasure of meeting this young man a couple of weeks ago at the Academy for the release of Bun B's new era cap that he had made for the Houston Astros. So it's an honor and a pleasure to have in the studio Mr. Kenneth Morris from Universal Elite Airspace. He's the CEO and founder of Universal Elite Airspace. Good morning, my man. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you.
And you also brought another guest, Tanya, and I forgot how to say your last name that fast.
Tanya Hinojosa.
Hinojosa, who is part of Giving Back Collectively. That's your nonprofit, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, Kenneth, you are a pilot.
That is correct.
First, we'll give the people of H-Town, you know, your background, your history. You're H-Town boy?
H-Town, born and raised, man. Like I said, I've been listening to 97.9 forever. Like I said, I'm from the Fifth Ward area. Actually, we graduated from the same high school together. We graduated from Jones High School. So, proud Houstonians. Went to the Navy probably 3 weeks after I graduated. So, I didn't get a summer. I didn't get anything. I went straight to the military. I actually didn't know anything about airplanes at all. Never met a black pilot, anybody in the aviation field. So, once I got to the Navy, I was like, okay, you know what? I want to try these different jobs out. And we have detailers, basically people who assign jobs. And he told me, well, you know, you tested pretty high, but I don't think you could, you know, do this particular job flying airplanes or, you know, looking for submarines, because that's what I did from an aircraft. And I said, well, I'm up for that challenge. I took that job and excelled at it. And once I got in the plane, it was like, okay, yeah, you know, I can do this. And flew a plane. I think I was 19 when I first flew.
Oh, wow.
I flew the plane by myself and over $30 million worth of aircraft and 10 other people in the back, and they believed in me. So I believed in myself, and it's been history ever since. So.
Man, that is incredible. So prior to you being in the Navy, I mean, were you ever interested in?
No clue.
You know,
no clue. Airplanes. I was like everybody else, man. I grew up, like I said, I grew up in Fifth Ward. I played basketball. And that's I was thinking, okay, if I don't make it in the NBA, I'm going to do something else. But aviation wasn't even on my radar.
So how did that process work? Did you like flip from being in the Navy to the Air Force?
Well, no. Basically what happens, once I got out of the military, I went to college on a basketball scholarship. You know, I was 23 at that time. So got a basketball scholarship to play at a junior college in Kansas, and I got my degree in computer information systems.
Oh.
So I got into the IT field for probably about 5 or 6 years or so, but it wasn't my passion. You know, I didn't enjoy it as much as the whole time I was working on computers, I was thinking about flying. So I was like, okay, well, you know, I got to make a life decision here. And then I said, you know what, I love helping kids. I love helping people, period. So I took the two things I loved, you know, aviation and helping kids and helping people who may not be aware of all the opportunities. Then that's how I started my organization, Universal Elite Aerospace.
So let's talk about Universal Elite Aerospace and what you all do and offer. What is your mission?
Okay. Our mission is pretty simple. We basically provide exposure and access to aviation careers, facilities, anything you think of having to do with aircraft. We kind of try to give the disengaged youth and teens that exposure that they wouldn't have any other way. Like I said, I was 19. I had no idea about aviation. I want to give kids a jump start before, you know, prior to when I had it myself. So at 10 years old, we take kids out to the airports. We go out and do presentations at the Boys and Girls Club, schools. And actually, it started because I was taking a small group of kids out. And I said, you know what? And they loved it. You know, a lot of them hadn't been out of their neighborhood before. And they had a good time. And I was like, you know what? Maybe more kids enjoy it. So a mutual friend of ours put us together. He said, you know, I got somebody who works in the school district. Maybe you should tell her what you're doing and, you know, she could help you out. Well, okay, well, I explained to her what my goal was and she was excited about it. And she said, well, I'm going to invite you to a HISD meeting. It actually was the Homeless Education Department meeting. And I got in and I told people there what I was doing and they got excited. So I got even more excited, you know, and it just kind of pushed me to, you know, start talking to different schools and different organizations and things like that. So what we do is we just give them that exposure and access that they wouldn't get any other way. Because when pilots come to their cities, they come, they do their layover in there, right, on the airport or the terminal, right, then they leave. They're off to the next city. You're not going to find a pilot that's going to do his layover in a hood. They're right. not coming to Fifth Ward. They're not coming to Third Ward or South
right.
Park
right.
on their time off. They're going to sit there and relax until it's time for the plane to take off. So what I do is I'll bring the kids to you then. You know, what I do is when these pilots land or these facilities are available, I'm going to bring our kids from the hood or from wherever they are, take them out to the airport, let us see firsthand how it works.
Man, that is absolutely incredible to, you know, give these kids another option and another outlet besides just, as you said, basketball was on your mind. A lot of these kids, they think that balling and rapping is, you know, the thing. But, you know, that's so big ups to you with that. So, Tanya, when you heard about Kenneth and his organization and you linked up, how did you take that? Were you excited? Were you immediately down to yeah, help support the cause?
I was. Because also, like Kenneth stated, you know, we hooked up through HISD. And that's my day job, HISD, the Homeless Education Office. And basically, what we do is we reach out to all the homeless families within Houston Independent School District. Mm. We assist them with, like, referrals, resources, and that type of stuff. So when he came to me and he was like, hey, we have this program, I was like, okay, well, let's see how we can get you in. We hooked him up with some of the schools and then just some of the students and just getting him into the places that he needed to get into to get the program that he's doing more out into the community as well. So that's how we kind of hooked up together. And then after that, GBC, Giving Back Collectively, is my nonprofit. And I started working with him on consulting him and just helping him with networking and putting him in with the other people that's outside of HISD and organizations that I have connections with.
Okay. So let's talk about your nonprofit, Giving Back Collectively. How long has this been? How long have you been running the organization?
The organization is new. Probably a few months, but it comes from being at HISD.
Hey, you heard it here first. I got an exclusive. So a new nonprofit organization called Giving Back Collectively. Yes, you heard it here first on Access Houston on 97.9 The Box.
Yes.
Continue.
Thank you. So like I said, you know, it kind of comes from where I'm working at now, HISD, because we work with the homeless kids, but once they graduate, that's it. They're no longer our kids. Yeah. So I figured since I have a relationship, you know, with them, can I continue to help? How can I continue to help? So I was like, okay, we formed the organization. It's for homeless kids, unaccompanied youth, foster care students, and just low-income students who want something and just don't know what way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just linking the same resources that I already have, but being able to still service them. Because like I stated, with them leaving HISD, they're no longer HISD students. They can no longer get services through HISD. So we formed that, and that's kind of where I continue to help them from.
Oh, that's great. With HISD and the curriculum that, you know, is offered through HISD in their schools, do you know of any programs that, you know, offer any sort of insight into aviation?
How many schools? Because I know Kenneth has actually reached out to some of the schools that have the aviation program there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. High school wise, Sterling Aviation High School, which is fairly new. The school has been there for years, but their program is actually going through some transition now. It's even the name has changed. It was at one point Ross Sterling High School. Now it's called Ross Sterling Aviation High School,
where
the kids, you can't just go there and get a regular diploma anymore. You're going to actually have to choose a career path. So in the aviation field, so you could be a pilot. They're going to teach you either be an A&P licensed mechanic, forensics, probably two other logistics as well. So going to high school, you'll know what your career path would be. And it's just a different perspective on high school education. So that is the only one. I've heard of a couple other, but I haven't quite confirmed those yet. But Sterling is probably the largest aviation. And then Texas Southern University, which is a HBCU, they have an aviation program as well, aviation management, and they also have a new flight program that they're starting very soon as well. So those are the institutions. as far as organizations like mine. There's Black Pilots of America. There's also OBAP, which is the Organization of Black Aerospace Professionals. Then there's another smaller group, but they're just as important as the NBCFAE, so National Black Coalition of Federal Aviation Employees. Mm-hmm. So for a city with 2 million people, we have maybe four organizations, mm-hmm. but a lot of them, you know, there's just people aren't aware of them. You know, they're really intelligent people that came before myself. They gave me the opportunity to do what I do, and I look up to them, yeah. and they're the ones that kind of inspire me to keep going and talking to the youth.
That's what's up. How long was that process of from the time that you found out that you were interested into flying planes to, you know, training and then getting your aviation license and all of that?
Well, I started flying in 1998, okay. so it's been a while since I first, and I was an air crewman. And in the Navy, what I did was I was trained to listen underwater to the acoustic sound signatures of submarines and tell you everything about it, mm-hmm. what country it's from, speed, depth, everything like that. So I enjoyed it, but I knew at one point, okay, I know I can fly this plane. So after serving my time in the military, I got my basketball scholarship, and I was in Kansas, and Wichita, Kansas is a big aviation city in our country. So I knew then that I wanted to take up flying.
That.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't aware of that. It's pretty much right in the center of the United States.
Yeah.
And Boeing is there, and a lot of big Air Force bases there as well. So that's when I got into flying, and I went through all my courses and my training, and my son's mother at that time, that's when she got sick, and mm-hmm. she had brain surgery and have a tumor removed, and I had to put my aviation plans on hold for quite a few years to be the primary caretaker for her, which I don't regret. It was just something that was thrown, you know, in my life, and that was something I had to take care of. So I didn't look back on it, and I learned a lot in that process. So during that time that I was away from flying, I still studied, and I still was keeping up with the trends in the aviation industry. And the one thing I noticed that it was just no diversity. Mm-hmm. Basically, 95% are all Hispanic, I'm sorry. 95% are all white males, bottom line. Basically, 2% are females, 3% are probably African-American, and 4% are probably Hispanic. And that's it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of room for us to grow and diversify the industry, but we just don't have that awareness. We don't have that exposure early as other people would.
Yeah.
So that's my job, is not only just my kid. My son has probably flown about 5 or 6 different airplanes. And he's 10.
Oh, wow.
You know, so
that's amazing.
That's fine that I can do that for my son, but why can't I help everyone else? You know, help as many people as I can.
And get that exposure out there.
Yeah, get that exposure.
It brings me back to my grandmother, may God rest her soul. She retired from Wright-Patt Air Force Base. I'm from Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
And so, you know, the Wright brothers, you know,
we
always say we taught the world how to fly.
Yeah.
And so she worked at Wright-Patt Air Force Base, and she scheduled the planes, you know, coming in and out. And there were many a trips riding out there, you know, as a kid that I went out there and, you know, she would take me on an aircraft and I would, you know, get to sit in the cockpit and just, you know, tour the plane. And that sparked my interest in, you know, flying. And then I actually, you know, my first airplane ride as a kid, I was over the moon. So, you know, I love to fly.
Yeah.
And just having that experience, it really did opened me up to, you know, more and made me appreciate more.
Definitely.
So I thank my grandmother for that. And you just took me back to that, you know, just talking about all of this. Tanya, what has the response been? How is the response with these kids being, do you find that they are pretty much interested in this?
We do. We find a lot of kids actually come to us, and, you know, just speaking with my coworkers and other people that we know, they always come back to like, hey, what's that guy's name that you were working with the aviation? I want to refer so-and-so to him. And I'll be like, okay. So, you know, I'll forward his information. It's a great response. And I have a daughter, and she, like Kenneth said, he's took them to go flying before.
Mm-hmm.
Ellington Field with the Flying Tigers. So she's actually sat in the front, and I sat in the back. I was like, okay, I'm your passenger this time, and I'll let you fly. So she's actually flown the plane. So it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing, because then I have a brother who, the same thing, didn't know what he wanted to do when mm-hmm. he graduated from high school and stuff like that. We took him on like 2-3 events. Yeah. After that, he's like, this is what I'm doing. So now he's over at St. Jack doing the pilot program.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's all they need. That's all they need. So just trying to connect like all the resources that are available for the kids and just kind of tell them, hey, you know, this is another avenue you can do or go down. That's something that you might like. So
it's
a good thing.
The type of kids that come through, what are they? Are they more, you know, low income?
Definitely. Usually disengaged youth. And when I say disengaged, it can be financially, mm-hmm. it can just be socially. A lot of the times the kids that we interact with, their dream is LeBron or nothing.
Or Lil Wayne,
exactly. Yeah. And then unfortunately for our demographic, once those two options are exhausted, then it's criminal activity. Right. So I tell people all the time, you know, why not allow me the opportunity to take them to the airport, and we're going to, you know, in case the basketball and football don't work, I mean, if that works, I applaud that. But if it doesn't work, we have an option where you can fly all around the world, you know, in about 10-15 years, you'll be making 6 figures. You don't know that because no one's telling you. Well, mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you now that this is how it works. And I tell the kids all the time, you know, you'll see the Drake video and he's flying in the G5 and, mm-hmm. you know, it's fine and all that. But you can really do that in reality.
You can really do it.
You can really do that. And you can start earlier than I started. You know, I didn't know what I wanted to do until I was almost 21 years old. And if you start as early as 10, 11, 12, you know, just, you know, not even just being a pilot, but just getting your mindset and making the right choices. The world is yours. You can go anywhere you want to go.
What are the stipulations on becoming a pilot? Is there a certain age that you have to be in order to fly a plane? Because I'm hearing you say, you know, my 10-year-old, he's flown. Yeah. Tanya, you're talking about your daughter.
She's eight.
You know, flying this big old piece of machinery. trust that with a 10-year-old. So, like, what are the stipulations with that?
Well, getting a private license, a lot of pilots, they'll tell you they actually got their pilot license before they got their driver's license.
Mm.
So you can be as young as 15 years old and get a private license, you know, with the right amount of hours and training. You know, if you prove that you're as efficient as the next, you know, 35-year-old, then you're going to get the same license and with the same training and quality reassurance, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
from the check riders. So you can get your private license prior to you getting your driver's license. You have a medical exam that you have to complete just to make sure that you're fit to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And those are pretty much the two biggest things, believe it or not.
I'm sitting here and I'm very intrigued and I'm adventurous. And I actually want to come out to Universal Elite Airspace, check it out. I know you people hear me. I'm on 97.9 The Box, but mainly I'm on Magic 102.1. And then I also do a lot of videos on the digital front for Magic's website. And so I do this Magic on the Move with KG Smooth. And, you know, I'm out in the streets getting people's opinions about, you know, certain current events, or I'm at events, you know, just covering it, because blogging is another part of the gig.
Definitely.
So I would love to come out and check it out and, you know,
time,
get you on camera, maybe get up in the plane and,
it's a fun time,
fly, man. And hell, possibly even, you know, you be interested and get my own pilot license.
And that's what we tell kids. Like, I'm on the general aviation side. I went from the military to the general aviation. So we have an airport right at Friendswood where we drive into our cars into the garage.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who actually fly their planes right to their house and pull into their house, and we wouldn't even know about that, you know. So you don't have to go out and work for United and Southwest, even though they're great companies, and I appreciate you dearly. You know, you can still have your own aircraft and go about your day-to-day business. As a matter of fact,
flying yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Fly it yourself. You know, a lot of doctors and lawyers, they have their own plane, and they can expand their business to these small towns. And it helps tremendously, you know, without having to drive to Nacogdoches.
Now, what are the government regulations on being able to do that? Because I know, you know, you got to be concerned about airspace and air traffic control. So explain that to me.
Real quick, Yeah, I'll do it as quick as possible. Sure. So in general aviation, it's a lot more flexible than if I was to say I want to get on a big United aircraft, a 747, 767. Right. So, for instance, if I wanted to go to Dallas, Texas, I can actually rent a plane by the hour the same way we rent cars if I didn't own my own aircraft.
Okay.
I can go out and rent it. It's typically about $100 an hour. So they charge me, not
you,
the time.
You got to be kidding me.
A lot of people don't know this, yeah. So they charge me, not for, say if I have it from 10 till 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
I'm not charged those hours. I'm only charged the hours that the plane is in the air. So
stop it.
Yeah, that's how that works. So the regulations are a lot more lenient. I mean, there are some regulations because safety is paramount.
Sure.
But as long as you are qualified to fly that particular aircraft, that particular type of aircraft, and usually you're flying in the daytime, and you can be an IFR pilot flying through the clouds, but typically they prefer for you to fly, you know, no clouds, certain distance, whatever the case may be, you're more than welcome to travel wherever you want to in the world, especially the United States. Yeah. So the United States, more pilots are private pilots than any other licensed pilot right now.
And all of the regulation, is it by state or is it there's just that
national,
one federal?
Yeah, Federal Aviation Administration. They basically are the father. They watch over everything that's going on. And if we do have an incident, the NTSB is who comes out and say, okay, well, you know, you didn't do this properly. This is that fine or whatever the case may be. Or if it's even worse, you know, a suspension, whatever the case is.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Federal Aviation Administration, you want to listen to what they tell you. They pretty much, they've been doing it forever, and they do their best to make sure everybody's safe and traveling and enjoying flying as much as possible. We've gotten away from enjoying it. That's why a lot of people don't really.
Yeah, they're frustrated. You know, you got to jump through all of these hoops when you get to the airport and then, you know, taking your shoes off.
Only be
3 points.
Because we've had that happen. We've missed a flight before.
Really? Yeah. You got a tack in your in your carry-on you didn't know about. Yeah. If it's more than 3.5 ounces of fluid, you got to throw it away. One time, and this was, you know, thanks, Bin Laden, for everything. May you rest in hell for making everything harder. I'm going to the airport. And I hadn't flown in a while since, you know, 9/11. So all of these new rules, you know, kind of caught me by surprise. And I had to throw away a brand new bottle of cologne that I had just bought.
Wow.
And I'm a cologne whore. And so I was P.O. that I could not take this brand new Vera Wang for Men cologne that smelled so good. I remember.
I can imagine.
You know, so imagine. Being able to fly yourself and having to skip all of that hassle, I'm all for that.
Oh, yeah.
So, Kenneth and Tanya, if there is a family that is listening right now, like, hey, I want my child to experience this. They may like it. How can they get in contact with you about Universal Elite Airspace?
Okay, well, we do have a website. Our website is www.universalelite.org. And if you go to our website, you'll see tons of pictures, things that we do, places we've gone. If you want to find out more about myself, the things that I've done to get where I'm at, you can click on the About the Founder page. We actually have a donation link. That's how our company is able to do a lot of the things we do. We are funded through our own pockets and through generous donors. We have a contact page, so feel free to leave your name, information, email address, and anything that you'd like specifically to ask us, you can access that as well. We don't charge for the program. That's one thing that we try our best to. Yeah, that's important because we want to give you all the opportunities you can. We don't want money to be the issue why you can't come out to Millionaire and, you know, experience the G5. You know, we want to give you every opportunity in the world to be successful. So if this is that way to do that, then we'll do it. And we're not going to charge you at all.
Oh, man.
We're not going to charge you at all. So
absolutely,
go to the website, and the contact number is on the website as well. Feel free to email us, give us a call. Our hour of operations are 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 7 days a week. So feel free to ask us any questions. We do have an event coming up November 22nd.
So that's one that you can attend. I know you said you wanted to stop by.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's when?
November 22nd.
November 22nd. Uh-huh. Ooh, that is the day of car show.
That's
for the box.
Okay.
For 97.9 The Box and Magic 102. Saturday, November 22nd, that is...
We'll
car show day, so
okay.
that's a whole day. But I would absolutely, no doubt in my mind, love to come out and check out the facility and, you know, get some video footage to share on our websites and everything. Since I can't do that date, but you know,
definitely
anything else.
Well, we do. Like I say, we go out to the airport frequently, so it's, you know, that's our big 1 year anniversary. So we're going to do our fundraiser at that. We have the 1940 Air Terminal Museum. We have that reserved, so we have tons of airplanes for the kids to get on and see. We have the museum, like an actual aviation museum that people just don't know about. It's a great place. You know, it's right near the landing strip of Hobby Airport. So literally,
you walk out. Yeah. If you walk out the back door, they let you walk out onto the
tarmac
where the planes are flying. You just have to stay a distance, but you're able to stand there and just see them come and go.
Yeah. Man, that is awesome.
And a lot of people just don't even know it's there.
They don't even know it's there. So kids, you know, when you listen to Jay-Z and he say, "I don't land at the airport, I call it the Clearport." That can be a reality for you, and you can be flying that thing yourself.
Exactly.
Man, Tanya, how can people learn more about giving back collectively?
I'm always available through my email, which is TanyaHinojosa@gmail, TanyaHinojosa@gmail.com. They can reach out to me on my email at any time that they need any assistance, whether it's like with the homeless family, foster care, unaccompanied youth, you know, just any resources that are available for the community. That's where I'm available at. And I respond within 24 hours.
Incredible. Excellent. are you guys on social media? Because, you know, these kids nowadays are all about Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Snapchat, you know, all of it and everything else that's out there.
Yes, I am. My name is Tanya Hinojosa on Facebook. I am on Instagram, Tanya Hinojosa, the same. I don't have a Twitter. But those are the only two social medias that I do have at this moment.
Yeah, and I'm on Facebook. You can put in Universal Elite Aerospace on Twitter as well as Mr. Kenneth Morris. And it's also a Universal Elite Aerospace title. You'll see that. I'm actually on Instagram as well, Universal Elite. And I'm on LinkedIn. I do a lot of business and connecting on LinkedIn as well. A lot of people should probably pay more attention to LinkedIn.
LinkedIn
is very,
I need to get back on my LinkedIn game.
I forgot about LinkedIn, but I'm on LinkedIn as well. Yeah, same LinkedIn thing, Tanya Hinojosa.
She's easy to find on the social media site. So.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so.
Man, thank you guys so much for coming through and letting the city of H-Town know about these two incredible programs and organizations that you have, man. I've been enlightened and I am so intrigued and I can't wait to come out and view the facilities and get a ride on the plane.
Of course, anytime, just let us know. And I know Kenneth always has events going on. Every 2-3 months, we have something going on. So you're more than welcome.
You know what I'm saying? We come out and do presentations at the school. I've been to several schools already. Actually, next week I'll start out at Lone Star College doing it there at the Victory Campus and Greens Point Campus. And November 5th, I'm actually going to Purdue University to speak to their students there. So that's all the way in Indiana. So, yeah, you know, Houston is my love, though. So they're going to get the goods first.
They're going to get the goods first.
But, you know, if I get the opportunity to travel outside and expand the knowledge, man, that's all I want to do.
Man, this is a beautiful thing. This is wonderful. Y'all keep up the good work. Keep this thing going. Mr. Kenneth E. Morris, CEO and founder of Universal Elite Aerospace, and Ms. Tanya Hinojosa of Giving Back Collectively. Thank you all so much.
All right.
Thank you.
And you are listening to Access Houston on 97.9 The Box.
We'll be back with more Access Houston on 97.9 The Box.